Welcome to another episode of More Happy Life, the podcast that will teach you how to trigger upward spirals of health and happiness in your life. I'm Andy Proctor, a happiness activist whose goal is to make your life more happy with science-backed strategies and powerful interviews. If you enjoy this episode, share it and let me know by tapping the stars in the reviews. I'm so excited to introduce you to today's guest, Brianna Johnson. She is an amazing person. She is a California girl who now is living as a newly single mom with to her five live crew in Salt Lake City, Utah. Her soul is set on fire by live music, dancing, meeting new people, reading in between the lines of real conversation, which she's so good at, trying new things, connecting with God, and eating avocado. After years of working in the wee hours outside of her full-time job, she has now made her dream a reality by becoming a full-time podcaster of the Life Beats Project and content marketing director for Sturry. She is passionate. You guys, her podcast is so good that it got acquired by Sturry, just so you know. It really is an amazing podcast, and she is passionate about the people that she is with, and she is passionate about helping them to illuminate the extraordinary that they already have lying within them. And she's traveled internationally to shout her message from the top of the globe about this very important message, and she talks about this message during our podcast today. And she says that she is formerly a proud plate spinner and life juggler. She now practices daily recalibration to return to her newly obtained quiet mind. Which I love that. I really, really love that. And one of the ways that I found her was her episode on recalibration, which we talk slightly about in the episode today. And we talk about so many amazing things like, you know, getting to know yourself, right? Dating yourself, being curious about other people and how to make new friends as an adult. How do you look at failure? How do you recalibrate your life if you're not feeling it right now? We all go to these times where we're just not feeling it, right? How do you recalibrate? We talk a little bit about that, and how pain is a teacher. It's just, there's so many just golden nuggets in this podcast episode, guys. So I just hope that you take the time today to listen through this, to really soak this one in with Brianna. I am so excited to have her on. Here we go. Okay. Hey, Brianna, thank you so much for being on the show with me today. I'm so excited to have you on.
Oh, Andy, it's an honor. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, absolutely. So you are like one of the most happy people that I know. And
oh my goodness, you know, thank you.
More happy life. So like, why could I not, you know, share your happiness with the world? So I am just glad to have your smiling face on the show today. So yeah.
Thanks, Andy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's so funny because we always end up just kind of running into each other at all these events.
Yes.
And I'm like, all right, we gotta make this happen. So here we are. Oh man. So I love to start off some of these episodes by talking about some of the positive emotions. So I'm like a positive psychology nerd, and you know, in the science of happiness, they study positive emotion, and they try to kind of get really defined with like, what is happiness, right? And so the 10 positive emotions that are studied are gratitude, pride, amusement, interest, serenity, inspiration, joy, awe, hope, and love. And so I like to kind of think about like my guests and think, okay, so what do they remind me of, you know? And so as I was thinking about you, I thought of three of those positive emotions were joy, inspiration, and hope. And I just think that you really exude the, like, all three of those. I think you bring hope to a lot of people. I think you like to be inspired yourself, and you really like to inspire other people as well. And I feel like you're driven by joy as well. So, and it doesn't mean you're limited to those three, but I just thought I would reflect that to you.
Well, thank you, Andy. That was such a compliment to be able to read that. And I love how you articulated that, like, driven by joy, that I am. And just the goal for me is to be able to help people to see that their life is worthy of inspiring other people. And particularly, a lot of my focus has been to help them to see that they can inspire themselves by their own journey and the path that they're on. But then, yes, the hope, being able to help people to have hope, that is another focus. So I love that. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So which, I mean, you kind of just answered this question, but any of the other ones that you feel like you like just love to help other people experience of those positive emotions?
I think when you list them off, the other one besides those three would be the awe. And I think that that's actually been something that I have been experiencing lately, as a goal of mine has been to try and to step into who I am. And the more that I'm able to see the potential that I have, the more of awe I've been experiencing of, and seeing everyone in that light. Really, the being that we are inside is so powerful. And a lot of times we have these layers that come on us from external circumstances or our own self-doubt that come, and it kind of clouds that of being able to see that greatness inside of us. But when we're able to kind of peel that off piece by piece, I think that awe comes and we just are in, you know, in wonderment of what is possible for us.
Wow. I love that. I totally agree. I very much agree with that. I think that's, I want to talk about, like, this is something I feel like is one of your superpowers, right? And like something you're very passionate about, is bringing out the stories in people. I mean, you're a podcaster, you're a storyteller, and you're very good at it. And so
thank you.
I wonder, you're welcome. I wonder if you could share a little bit of your secret with the listeners, right? Like, how do you do it? Like, how do you connect with people so well? I would call you this, like, you're like a super connector, right? And I think there's a reason why you can do that. So do you have any like tips for
you know? Absolutely. Yeah. It's so interesting. I think the more that you examine or take a look at yourself, you will discover that there is something about you that comes easily to you that doesn't come easily to others. And I think you can say that that's your superpower, or, you know, that's a gift. A lot of times we associate gifts with maybe outward things that are easily seen. But when we can identify, you know, I am good at that, then sometimes you don't realize why is it good? And why is it easy for me and come naturally for me? And so that's actually some things that I've worked on the last 3 years in doing my podcast, is so that I can help other people with that. What is it? What are those things that I do that allow me to be able to connect with other people? And there's a few things that I would love to share. And I think part of it is just in the way that you view people in general. And so I think if you have, we say these things like, don't assume, you know, we have that, don't assume things about people. But I kind of take that in a different direction. And I say, yes, it's okay to assume. And so the things that I to assume about people is that I'm assuming that they're doing their best before I even meet that person. And I also lead out and assume that people want connection. A lot of times we maybe approach someone and we think they're not interested in getting to know me, or, and so we kind of put a barrier between us and them before we even meet them. But I think if we can generally assume people are doing their best and they do want connection, that kind of breaks down the barriers before we even approach them or even try to create a connection. If we can also approach it with a curiosity and not maybe have a predetermined outcome of what we hope will happen with this connection with this person or this conversation, if we can just be curious about it. And I think for me, I have this deep desire is to let people know that they're seen. And so when I approach someone, I hope that they feel like it's just them and me, like there isn't anybody else in the room, that it's just, I'm just interested in them. And so I'm really focused on looking them in the eye, and really listening to what they're saying. And when we really listen to what people are saying, we also listen to what they're not saying. And by doing that, that allows us to do another thing that I do, which is to not be afraid to go deeper. A lot of times we start conversations with people and we're kind of afraid of, you know, other questions beyond the surface right. of how are you doing or whatever. But let's say we do start with the, you know, how are you doing? We can listen to what they're saying and listen to what they're not saying and then not be afraid to go deeper after that. And I think that's where the connections are able to be made. So those are a couple of my secrets. What do you think? Not so secret.
No, I feel like there's such good secrets. And I think that, you know, I think that, some of these things are almost a lost art these days. We are so afraid of being seen and of people hearing what we're not saying even that we go into these kind of coping modes, yes. You know, where, you know, whether it's, like I find myself sometimes in the elevator at my job saying like, you know, I just pull up my phone. And I'm like, I don't have anything on my phone. Like, I don't even, like, what am I looking at my phone for? Like there's a human being sitting there, like standing next to me in the elevator and who's also like looking on their phone.
Right.
And I think, you know, and I've tried to challenge myself to just say like, hey, you know, how you doing? How's your day going? Like, I don't even know their name, right. but I love what you said about that, you know, like eye contact and like really listen and, you know, that curiosity. And I love those assumptions too. I think those assumptions of, you know, like people are like, they're probably just doing their best.
Yeah.
And I really love, and I'd love to kind of go a little bit deeper with this one, what you said about that they want connection. I think most people really want connection. And like that is, I think that's huge. And I think that we need to remember that because like we are probably craving that connection. And we assume that other people aren't. We assume that other people are just like, oh yeah, they're fine. They have their friends. They have their...
Right.
Whatever.
Or they don't want it from me.
They don't want it from me. Right. Yeah. That's like a powerful negative story.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, that we tell. And I think it's a big issue right now that is, you know, and there's a lot of research that actually shows that loneliness, you know, it's like one of the biggest, I think, killers of happiness, of real happiness. And I mean, relationships, close relationships are the number one predictor of our health and our happiness long term. And so, yeah, I mean, how do you kind of overcome that voice inside your head that's like saying, oh, they probably think I'm stupid or, oh, they, what, you know, that story that we're telling ourselves and think about, you know what, they probably want to connect with somebody. Like, what do you think about that? Like, how do you think we can overcome
it? I think that there are so many things in our culture right now, I think that on one hand have the ability to connect us, but are actually isolating in another way. Mm-hmm. And so there is this duality that exists. And a lot of the times we are only feeling the isolation at some point. Mm-hmm. And I think that if we can realize that we are more alike than we are different. And that even though we feel so isolated and that our circumstances are so unique and there's no one else that can feel like me. I mean, this is the premise of my podcast, The Life Beats Project, is that, you know, we have these universal desires and these universal emotions that exist, that even though the man in the elevator's life is so different from you, that we all have these core universal desires. And that when we are able to create that kind of connection, that there is that bond that we both want. And I'm not saying that the guy in the elevator wants to be your best friend, but he does want to feel seen and he does want to connect on some level. And so I think if we can realize that they're not so different from me, or I'm not so different from them, then that allows us, just having that one simple view, that opens a lot of doors and it'll allow us to see. Another aspect would definitely to
Yeah.
be something so deep what we could talk the whole time about, which would be just the idea of self-worth, but value, seeing the value in us contributing in some way. So those are some thoughts that I have around that.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. Thank you for answering that question. I think, you know, I think it's hard. It can be difficult. It can be a challenge to make friends as an adult. You know, like when
yes.
I was a kid, I was like, "Hey, you want to play?" You know, and it's like you just ball, you know, and then like end up playing Legos, and you're like, "Wait, what's your name?" You know, and like 3 hours later, you're like playing with somebody you don't even know them. But as an adult, you're like, "Hey, what's your major? Like, what are you going to do with that? And
right.
how much money do you make?" And blah, blah, blah. Like, how do we make friends as an adult?
You know what? I think as you even said some of it, I think in your response, like talking about playing Legos, I don't think it is as different from being kids as we think it is. I think that if we can, and it's interesting being single, it's very different than being married as far as friendships go. But there's a term that they say often in the single world is dating yourself, and really getting to know yourself. And so looking at, okay, what are the things I enjoy doing? And so I'm going to make time to do those things that I want to do. And when you put yourself in those situations of, I want to go do this or this activity or this activity, it's really the same as going and meeting someone, doing an activity that you love that also has a mutual likeness for an activity, and you can meet them there. And so it doesn't have to be so foreign of playing Legos with someone else.
Yeah.
It could be, you know, going to the gym. It could be like, I've been to a rock climbing gym and made some friends there. It could be, you know, going to an art exhibit. It could be, you know, going to doing skiing or whatever, just putting yourself when you're doing something that you love. I feel like that kind of just itself and being comfortable and being somewhere that you want to be, that kind of lets down some walls. Just generally, you're happier already doing something that you love. You're feeling comfortable there. You're not feeling so, you know, you're just more open. I think if you're already in an environment where you're doing something you love, and sometimes that will break down those barriers between you and someone else and maybe talking to them. It's easier to talk to them about something that you're both doing or you're both enjoying or both experiencing. And so if we put ourselves in those situations, whether it's going to listen to a band at a bar, you know, that you liked, or, you know, whatever it is for you, being somewhere doing something that you love, I think that fosters an environment for conversation that's easier than if you're just somewhere, you know, not necessarily doing something you love, but it seems like it'd be more of a stretch to try and meet people that way. So that's some of the things that I thought of making friends, finding like-minded individuals. But it does take that little push of ourselves to open our mouths. and that can be the tricky part, especially for people who have experienced loneliness. You know, wanting to put themselves out there can be scary. But, you know, I think that if we can, that the rewards are there, the benefits are there, and that will help us make that transition.
Yeah. And I love what you said about self-worth, and I agree. It could be like a whole episode in itself, but
yes.
That's such a big part of it is if you believe that you're somebody worth saying hi back to.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely. So. I think that's really important. You know, it takes a lot of asking questions about ourselves. There, when you asked me that question about loneliness before and you brought that point up, that is actually something that I have experienced at a deep, deep level this last year, going through my divorce and just being, you know, to the point where you're just, you know, sprawled out on the floor and you're just like, in your carpet, like grabbing at the threads, and like I'm at the lowest that I could possibly be, and I feel so lonely. And to be able to be at that point and allowing yourself to feel that, to the point where you begin to ask yourself questions I think that's so important for that opportunity to be able to figure out how to change the way you feel by really examining yourself and those questions. And some of them definitely are rooted in how you view yourself and how you see yourself as being worthy of friendship, worthy of relationships, worthy of love. So I think that, you know, taking the opportunity to really be open to answering your own questions, I think is really important.
Yeah, it sounds like you've really gotten to know yourself, like, intimately.
I have.
It can be a scary place to go.
It's definitely a scary place to go, because when you're experiencing that loneliness, it feels like it is isolating. It is just you, you know, and you think, am I wanted? You know, can somebody love me? Hmm. And it is a hard place to be, but I know people have said it before, and sometimes we think that cliches are cliche, but the reason that they're a cliche is because there is some truth, you know, in them that, you know, that there is a depth of truth to it. So as some people say, the only way out is through. And that's how I feel with the feelings of loneliness, is you just really examining your feelings, asking yourself the hard questions to be able to really identify them. And a lot of the things that we experience when we're experiencing loneliness, once we verbalize them, we can examine it. And once we examine them, we can take away the power that they have over us and really just say, is this a truth about me? Is this really a truth? And examine, like you said, the stories that we tell ourselves. Is this really true? And to be able to combat them. And then the idea of moving towards finding somebody to trust with those things that you found out about yourself, whether that is a trusted friend, or is a therapist or someone that can help you to counter those thoughts that you have, that you examine, I think is really important. If we only have these thoughts in our mind, there's no one to counter them. And it just continues to roll around, and we say these things over and over. I like to say, like, this totally dates me, but it's the mixtape. It's like that.
Yeah.
It's that mixtape of those same things we say over and over in our mind. We just put them on repeat. And unless we can give that mixtape to somebody else for them to look at and help us to examine them, sometimes we aren't corrected and we continue to believe those negative and false truths about ourselves. So I think that's really important, is to verbalize those things.
Yeah, we really have to, like, you know, find some new songs, right?
Yes, we need to find some new songs.
Yes, like with our finger ready for the record button, you know, to like record those awesome songs over the bad ones.
That's right.
Totally agree. Brianna, what would you say right now is your mission in life?
Yeah, I've actually thought about this a lot. You know, for me, I feel like, you know, I'm a single mom of 5 kids now, and my life is very different. But it's so interesting how I feel like the passions that I had before are only magnified. And for me, I feel like my mission right now is to liberate myself and my children and anyone else that I'm able to come in contact with from that self-doubt, from those thoughts of not feeling like you're good enough, those self-imposed negative thoughts. I feel like that's my mission, and however I can do that, a lot of it right now is me discovering that for myself. And once I'm able to do that, I want my children to be able to know what I'm learning, and then whoever else is interested in learning, I want to be able to share. And I've become very passionate about that, and not coming from a place of being an expert at all, just coming from somebody that's been in it and has lived it and is currently living it. And if I can help one person to be able to go through it faster, you know, or even just go through knowing that they're not alone, that there is someone else there with you, because really I can't take anyone's pain away, and I wouldn't want to, because that pain is a teacher. And, you know, when we're able to allow it to teach us, those are the, I think, some of the most valuable lessons that we can learn. But if you have someone that's walking with you, that you know, that's there with you, that maybe is just two steps ahead, that can kind of look back a little bit and tell you, you know, where, what to expect, or that they're even just normal, then I feel like, you know, that would be something that, that I feel absolutely called and pulled to do.
I love that so much. I think that you really nailed it on the head with so many different points right there. And like, I am good enough. I feel like that is so powerful. I think so many people need that. And I've heard that, like, when you can find what your strength is and then use that strength to serve others, that is purpose, right? That is a purpose and that is a mission. And that is sustainable. I mean, you'll see it. You'll see it in other people's eyes. And I love, you know, like you said, that you said, I'm not an expert. But you look at experts who do research, but a lot of times experts do research, but they don't do me search. And I think one of the most powerful things is doing me search, right? Like, you've done a lot of me search.
Yes, I have.
And I think that's the most important study you can ever do. Right.
Absolutely.
I mean, this podcast is based off of science, and, you know, I do a lot of talking about studies and scientific research, but I say, if you can't back that research by me search, then don't listen to that researcher.
Yeah. Well, and I love that. I think it's so important because I feel like there's kind of this, this fight right now about if like self-care or me search is good or not, are good, not good for you or not good for you, because people come at it, well, you know, if you're focusing on yourself, you know, you're not serving other people, or, you know, you're thinking too much of yourself. But if we're not doing that me search, if we're not really giving to ourselves, if we're not investing in ourselves, if we're not showing ourselves that we're worth it enough to, you know, find out what sets our soul on fire, find out, ask ourselves those questions of why am I feeling this way? Really finding out those things that really instantly can change our mood or can shift or pivot our direction. If we're not understanding, if we're not, you know, really investing in ourselves to find out those things that really bring us joy in our lives, and we're not doing those things, how can we in turn serve other people? We can't. If we're not filled, we can't give to other people. And so that me search, that self-care is so important. It is, if we in turn take it, like you said, those gifts that we've been given, and turn and give and share with other people, I mean, that's what the world needs. And the world needs more of people who know who they are, who know their gifts, willing to do the work, and then just step into that and to be able to, you know, share and guide and walk with other people.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Man, you just like nailed it on the head. yeah. So we were last week to at this really amazing conference, right? Silicon Slopes.
Yes.
We saw so many really, really great, just very optimistic presentations, I think. And one of them that I really loved was with Alex Rodriguez, A-Rod, right?
A-Rod, yeah.
Yeah. J-Lo, A-Rod, you know.
Yes.
He shared something that has stuck with me a lot, which is he said, I have a master's in failing and I have a PhD, but I have a PhD in getting back up.
Yeah.
I just love that. And I want to ask you, because you've been through some rough stuff.
Yes.
And, you know, what helps you to just keep going towards your goals, towards your purpose, towards your mission in life, when you have faced these obstacles that you've had, you know, this even like criticism and like failure, like he talks about? What is it?
Well, I think a couple of them come to mind, some things that I've really contributed. One is the way that I look at failure. I've really purposefully tried to understand that. I mean, I hate making mistakes. I know everybody does, but I'm just like, ugh, I just like, just want to do it. Tell me what the right way is to do it so I can avoid the mistakes, and I'll do that. But that's definitely not how life goes. But if I can understand that my path, the path that is meant for me and that I'm proceeding in, involves mistakes. So there really isn't mistakes. There really isn't failure. It's all part of the journey and the path that I'm supposed to go from to go on. And if taking that and coupling that with this idea that so much growth and so much of the lesson is involved in those the things that we perceive are failure, the things that didn't turn out the way that we thought, even the way that we view the world. Like, I feel like for me, I've been so broken open this last year and a half of, like, my world was very much black and white. Like, this is how happiness is achieved. A plus B plus C equals happiness. And that was like, in my mind, I thought this is how it's supposed to go. And then when my world just broke open, I realized that that's not how it is, that everybody's path looks differently. And my path looked very differently than I had. And my A plus B, there wasn't that equation anymore, but I could still be happy. I could still be happy despite what I thought my world needed to look like. It didn't look like that anymore. But when I could accept that it was exactly what I needed for Brianna to grow, it's exactly the path that I need to be on, then it was a matter of, well, how am I going to get back up? You know, like that. I love that. It's like we get hit. Sometimes we just in this place where we just feel like we get to be knocked down over and over. Like, you know, those waves on the ship that you're just like, what? I just got to get off this boat. But we can't. We just have to keep going. You know, just stay in that boat and just keep going and realizing that we're going to rise and we're on that path that we're supposed to be in. And we have to just hang on and just keep getting back up. And I feel like even as a parent, like that's the best thing that you can do for your kids. Somebody that I interviewed was one of the most fascinating people, Karan Bajaj, and he is a Hindu. And he shared with me kind of his philosophy of parenting and how the best thing that he could do for his children was to model that to have his children watch him fall, fail, break into pieces, but then to be able to put those pieces back together and show that he could get up and rise. You know, if you tell your children one thing, to live a risk-averse life, and to, you know, but then you yourself are not taking those risks, but you want to be able to tell your kid they can be whatever they want to be, but you yourself are living this risk-averse life, how are you supposed to demonstrate that? You have to know that with risk comes failure, with risk comes criticism, all of those things. And so if we want ourselves want to be able to show our children that possibilities are endless, then we have to be that way ourselves. And so for them to watch that process of not being afraid to fail by trying our best, you know, that's what we need to do to be able to show that to other people. So I thought that was super powerful.
I really like that. It's almost like a good way of parenting is to show them resilience, and resilience doesn't come unless we actually fail, right? Yes. We have to fail.
There's resistance somewhere.
Exactly. You can't get back up if you haven't fallen down.
Right.
So, man, thank you so much for sharing that. And so you've taken us on an amazing journey. I just have loved this. And
I'm
basking in the goodness here. So I wonder if you have any other advice that you would want to offer to the listeners who are just desperate for a more happy life right now.
I think one of the things that I've had to really work on is this idea of acceptance. I think that there's a quote from Sturry. That's the company that I work for. My podcast was acquired by this company called Sturry, and they create emotionally inspiring stories, just beautiful. And there is a line from one of my favorite videos that we've created called Life is Beautiful. And it's by Jody Orgel Brown. It's her life story of having a brain tumor and her face becoming paralyzed. And but it says in there, you have to mourn what you've lost or you can't accept what you have. And that just hit me so hard, is that you have to allow yourself to feel what you need to feel in order to be able to accept what you have. And so for me, I've had to really accept my life circumstances, and I realized that I hadn't. I was trying to just skip over being single. And I wasn't accepting it. And what it was doing was preventing me from feeling happiness. It was preventing me from to be able to accept what I have, to be able to see the goodness of what was in my life, because I hadn't accepted it. And so I feel like that's one of those deep questions that we have to ask ourselves. Do I accept my current circumstances? And if we can't really say yes, then I would start there. If you're wondering why you can't feel the joy or the happiness that you really want to feel, ask yourself that. Am I currently accepting my circumstances? And what will it take for you to accept it? I think that's individualized, but what you need to start with is identifying the emotions that surrounding that and what those bring up. Why are you feeling that way? What is this circumstance telling you about yourself that maybe isn't true? Like for me, my circumstance was telling me the lie of nobody wants me. I'll never be loved. And once I can examine that and then accept the fact that, oh, that is so not true, that I am loved. And if nothing else, I am loved by a loving God, and I can love myself. And that is enough. And so that's what I have been focusing on. And I do believe in this law of attraction, that there will be someone in my future that will see the love that I have for myself and the love that I have for God. And that will be something that will attract them to me. But I just feel like, the three words that are currently in my life that are the focus are order, creating order in my life and my home, acceptance, and trust. And so that would be something that I'm currently really focusing on, that I would just invite anyone right now who is looking to feel different, who's looking to invite that joy or happiness into their life. Look and see if there's something you haven't accepted. And then what would acceptance mean or bring to you that would allow you to embrace happiness?
Wow. Thank you so much for sharing that. I'm going to go change my life right now. No joke. I mean, that's so huge. Acceptance is just, it's difficult.
It is difficult.
And it takes some real digging. It's like grief.
Yes.
Work. And I think it's powerful though. And anybody who's been through it knows this. And if you haven't, yeah, like it's huge. So I remember the episode that I actually listened to of your podcast, that really helped to start taking me through this type of a journey, where you talked about recalibration.
Yes.
And if you guys are listening to this, go check out that episode on the Life Beats Project podcast. It's a really good one. And I was very inspired. I think that was one of the first things I heard from you. And so anyways, really, really amazing advice. Thank you so much for sharing that with us, with all the listeners, the More Happy Life podcast. And where can people find your podcast? Is the Life Beats Project? And yes. where else can they find you?
Thank you, Andy. And thank you so much for having me. It's been such an honor. And you are one of the most happy people I know, and you just radiate and emanate, and I love it. And I think that's why we keep running into each other, because it's like, oh, like-minded individuals.
Yeah.
But yeah, I call my community the good seekers and the change makers. So come be a part. I know that that resonates with your audience. And so, my podcast is the Life Beats Project, and Life Beats is one word, and you can find that wherever you're listening to this podcast, or you can go to my website. website, which is thelifebeatsproject.com. I'm on Instagram at Life Beats Project and on Facebook, and also Stiry, S-T-I-R-Y, on Facebook. That's our main platform to be able to share our videos, and then Stiry Official on Instagram.
Thank you so much. And thank you so much for being here, Brianna. It has been an honor. And just to kind of affirm what you said before, you are loved.
Oh, thank you, Andy. I loved being on the show. Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much for being here. I really hope this episode helped you to have a more happy life today. If you enjoy this episode, share it and let me know by tapping the stars in the reviews. You can also find me on Instagram at morehappylife or by going to morehappylife.co. Thanks for listening and see you soon.